Ms. Pia Miller will come and share our gospel reading.
The gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Every Sunday now, when we say our core values as a church, which we claimed 4 years ago now, one of those core values is that we are guided by Jesus' teachings. And Matthew's gospel, which is the primary gospel that the lectionary is leading us through this year, focuses a lot on Jesus as a teacher. And yet it strikes me again and again that Jesus wasn't so much a teacher who said, do this, do that. Jesus was a teacher who used stories, who used images and metaphors. Jesus' teaching was provocative, wanted to make us think. Storytelling is integral, as I understand it, to the whole rabbinic way of teaching. But Jesus definitely had his own unique style. His style of stories we call parables. Most of the time he talked about very ordinary, everyday things and people, situations that the people hearing him would know all about. But almost always in his parables, there's a twist. There's a surprise. And sometimes we miss the twist or the surprise because we've heard these parables for years and we're not in that cultural context. So sometimes we have to do a little studying to realize, oh, that really wasn't the way it was meant, normally would have been. And so the people hearing him would have been going, what? They were surprised. And he told these stories to leave people thinking, to make them stick in your mind. And let's confess, even though we may not know quite what we think of a lot of Jesus' parables, we probably remember a lot of them because stories stay in our minds. Jesus' parables were meant to change our ways of seeing, to bring new awareness, to change perception, to transform our consciousness. Parables in general are not meant to be allegories, even though sometimes the explanations, particularly in Matthew's gospel, get pretty allegorical. This is this and that is that. But certainly these four today are way too short to be read as allegories. Many of Jesus' parables are about what is called in Matthew's gospel, the kingdom of heaven. Some of the others talk about the kingdom of God. We might say God's realm, God's reality, as do these four short parables Biz just read. So what is this kingdom, this realm, this reality, and why does it matter to us? Well, first and foremost, I think it's pretty clear that this reality is not talking about some future faraway place. The kingdom of heaven is not about heaven after we die. It is here, now, available. It's another realm, a different dimension. It's God's reality, God's way of seeing and being in the world, not the one we normally function on our everyday lives. And through his parables, Jesus is inviting us into that reality, to see and experience our lives and the world differently, to realize there is more than what we just pick up with our everyday five senses. I actually think modern science and science fiction stories can help us grasp this notion in a way people in the first century didn't have, right? We get it in a different sort of way. We know that there are all sorts of realities, and there's everything from the particles at the cellular level to the vastness of the universe. First century people didn't know all that, but we do. And we realize there's all this stuff going on. We keep learning more about all this life, energy, stuff happening in these different levels, different dimensions that we are just still beginning to understand. We certainly can't know this spiritual God dimension fully. We are limited by being humans in our bodies, and yet we are spiritual beings, and we can live into it, move toward it, open our hearts and minds and even our bodies to experience these higher, maybe higher, different levels of consciousness. So we have these four short little parables today. The first two sort of fit together, right? The mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Tiny, insignificant little things with amazing capacity for growth and change and transformation. Yesterday, I think, inspired by the yeast parable, I made some bread. You know, and you take those little bits of yeast and you mix it in with flour and a little salt and oil, and ooh, an hour or two later, you have a whole big thing. So much more. This one with the mustard seed is interesting because, you know, we know little thing grows something big. One of the surprises we miss in this parable is that nobody in that day, no good Jewish person, would have planted mustard in their garden. It was way too invasive. It would take over. In that day, their understanding of living righteously was closely linked to cleanliness and order. So Father Thomas Keating writes that it would be forbidden to plant such a wild, invasive mustard plant in your neat and orderly kitchen garden. That's interesting, is it? It reminds me a little bit, hearing this about mustard plants in the Middle East, of mint. Someone just recently mentioned, oh, I'm going to put some plants of mint, but I'm going to put it in a pot so it won't take over. And I thought, good luck with that. Because I remember that nice big pot that I planted mint in at our house outside Rochester. And within 2 or 3 years, it was overflowing the pot into the bed, and then it broke the pot, and it just kept on going. And by the time we left, I think half of that very large bed was all mint. And now we have mint outside our back door where we are now that someone else planted, not me, and it takes over everything, every summer. So Jesus is saying, that's what God's realm is like. Small, ordinary, invasive, maybe even something you might see as problematic. And yet, it grows. It's something that threatens our rules, breaks the order we establish, does not recognize our boundaries and our limits. The kingdom, the realm of heaven, is going to grow in places we may not plan or expect or anticipate. And the growth will be way more than we ever imagined. Just like that leaven, right? The yeast that we mix into some flour, and it grows and it grows. Now, everyone hearing Jesus knew about yeast. Bread is the staple food in the Middle East. You sit down at a table in a restaurant, you get your pita bread. You go into a home, you get bread. You don't discuss, are we going to have bread? Are we going to order some pita? No, it shows up. Bread is the basic. And yet, leavened bread, this kind of bread, was seen as ordinary, not sacred, not holy. So why is Jesus saying bread, yeast, is the stuff of God? Not the unleavened holy stuff, but the yeast. And you know, when you think about it, yeast is basically a variation on mold, right? Right? And if you're trying to create yeast on your own, you take a little bread and you let it sit around for a while till it gets a little moldy. And that can be the beginning of a starter for sourdough. Jesus is saying that God's reality is like that. God's realm is mold. Found in what is ordinary, found in what might be labeled unclean, in a tiny bit, just a tiny bit, can ferment and do its thing and over time grow and grow. And let's not forget to notice that Jesus makes the main character in that little parable a woman. What rabbi in his day told stories about an ordinary woman making bread? But this yeast would ferment and grow until it made dough. And this, we talk about three measures. We don't get what that is. That's a lot. That's like enough to feed this whole crowd of bread. We're not talking about just three cups here. We're talking about 3 pounds, maybe? A lot. A lot of bread. A lot of what we most need, of the nutrients of life, the staple that we live and survive on. This is how God works, Jesus said, in small, almost hidden ways, in the ordinary, everyday, and common, in what is right or here around us all the time. God's reality, God's realm happening right here among us, if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. And if we see it, if we recognize it, how do we respond? That's what the other two little parables are about, right? There's a worker in a field. One can assume a poor man working in somebody else's field, and he finds a treasure. Not uncommon across the centuries and cultures in the past for people to bury things in the ground. He finds this treasure, and when he does, he sells absolutely everything in order to be able to buy that field and claim that treasure. It takes everything he has. Years ago, we had an album with some songs on it by a group called the Medical Mission Sisters. And the phrase that keeps coming from that one of those songs is, he bought the whole field for joy. It's about joy. He was so excited, so joyful, he was willing to give it all to have that treasure. To receive the treasure, I think Jesus is saying we have to enter, we have to give it all. But what we find is such joy. Not happiness that's based on our external circumstances. Joy that comes from somewhere deep, to that connection to God and God's love. So sometimes God's presence, God's realm, is a surprise that we kind of stumble upon in places and ways we never planned or expected. Like that treasure in the field. But sometimes, also, what we need to see and to learn comes after years of seeking and asking and looking and searching. Like that merchant who finally found the pearl. He had given his whole life to this buying and selling, dealing in pearls. And then he finds this one that is worth it all. It cost all the rest, and he gives it away in joy. God's working in us is mysterious and surprising, never in our control. God's reality is here, now, present, available. It's about learning to open our eyes and see, learning to hear, learning to experience what is here in the common, messy, ordinary mess, junk of our lives. Still happening. Jesus calls us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and he urges us, seek, ask, open ourselves to what God's doing, and then wait. Because we can't control what's going to happen. I read a blog by a friend of ours this week who said, really interesting, I never thought about that he had a spiritual director tell him once that our spiritual lives are really not in our control. We're not in charge. The Spirit is working in us in ways we do not often understand, certainly cannot predict. Our job is to be open, to keep on letting go, letting God, responding and trusting that somehow in that process, growth is happening when we can't necessarily see it. Transformation is going on. God is at work in us, using us, moving us, leading us to more joy. He bought the whole field for joy. Amen.